My Fix It Up Life with Mark and Teresa. Tonight we're playing our lucky number. Bet you can't guess what it is.
We're on the set of Extreme Makeover Home Edition, Giant Joplin, Missouri Mission, 7 houses in 7 days, plus a playset.
Providing us our home inside the mesh serial mayhem of his elegantly choreographed chaos is the Stanley Tools DeWalt Tool Team, who are donating their tools, time, and talent to this terrific task.
But it's not all play. We're working on Teresa's one-of-a-kind, real-wood, real-fun playset in a nearby park. Donated by Real Outdoor Living to the people of Joplin, this park is part fun and part surprise.
You'll have to wait until Extreme Makeover's 200th episode to see how it all plays out.
Home improvement is happening all around us.
On My Fix It Up Play.
Sometimes we agree just to agree. Sometimes we fight with the referee.
Thinking of building a deck but not sure what product to use? Make the smart choice. Choose Real Wood. Pressure-treated wood is the number one decking material and has been for decades. It's easy to find, easy to use, affordable, and beautiful. Its strength and durability make it perfect for decks, gazebos, playsets, and any other backyard project. The authentic look of wood means your backyard project blends into your backyard. Real Wood is a perfect complement to nature, and it's simple to maintain. For more information, visit realoutdoorliving.com and follow us under Wood on Facebook.
And you are back inside My Fix It Up Life with my husband Mark
and my wife Teresa and the people of Joplin and the people of Well all over the place.
Well, yeah, pretty much all over the place. And if you're watching us on Ustream right now on Facebook, you can tell that, you know, it really, it's a little bit crazy here.
This is, and we're joined by craziness right here.
Craziness.
Throwing on his headphones right now. Ben, who's a producer with Extreme Makeover Home Edition. He's tangled up in his cord. Ben, do you know how to operate this stuff?
Hello. There we are. All right.
Hey, Ben. Mark Clement.
How's it going? Nice to meet you.
Hi.
Nice to meet you.
It's very nice to meet
you.
I'm glad you took some time to stop over. I know
absolutely,
you guys are
absolutely
super busy.
We are, but it's been great, yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you guys for being here.
Oh, you know, we are just thrilled to be here and to be building the playset over at Cunningham Park. I mean, it's such a, it's an amazing experience. And we've been to Extreme Makeover before, a couple of the projects before, but, you know, we're really getting an insider's perspective on really what it's like in a little way of, you know, what you guys put into this whole thing.
It is. It's crazy. It's probably a lot more than I think you would have imagined, more than I imagined before I came on with the show and stuff, but it's amazing. Everybody works great together, and we love, you know, having the community come out and help us out, and it's been great. So
how long have you been with the show?
This is actually my first season with the show.
This is your first season.
Mm-hmm.
So this is like a recent memory of you thinking about, you know, like coming on board. So it's like this team is amazing too. Everyone is so good behind the scenes. I mean, I wish that everyone who watches Extreme Makeover could really know everyone who works behind the scenes on the show, because everyone's amazing.
I know. It would be nice. We could do, you know, a 4-hour special or something like that and show all the behind the scenes and all the people that and all the work that goes into it. That'd be great.
Because there's so much that you guys shoot too.
I know. It's hard to squeeze everything in because there's so much action throughout.
Do you have a special advanced degree in being a ringleader of some sort? Where do you get
that? You do. Yes. You have a very PhD in circus acts and ringleading. So definitely. No, it's great though. I mean, it's you know, everybody on the crew is knows the role kind of, and we all work really well together. So
without giving away anything about what's coming up on this 200th episode,
right,
can you share one, where my voice went, and two, kind of what you were working on before you literally just kind of jumped into our chair here?
We actually were just kind of in you know, damage control mode right now to make sure everything's going smoothly. The build's coming along awesome. The houses look great. If you haven't been out yet, you should definitely check it out. But everything's going really smoothly so far, so we're just kind of making sure that it continues to go that way. And we actually were talking earlier that for such a big show, this is the biggest show we've ever done, it's gone amazingly smooth.
Wow.
Yeah, it's seven houses in 7 days.
Yeah, and I mean, we've all been like, you know, kind of knocking on wood and stuff when we say that, but it's been going really, really smoothly so far.
What kind of prep time is involved?
Quite a bit. I mean, from just the perspective of where we are and the grid that we're doing here. I mean, we've been here probably 4 or 5 weeks before the bill began, just getting everything in order and doing logistics and that kind of thing. So there's a lot involved. And then, of course, story-wise and that sort of thing, there's a lot to go, you know, filled with that as well. So.
And I also heard, too, that, you know, that both teams, both production teams, the Alpha and Bravo, you're all here together working together. And have you ever worked, have they ever worked together before?
No, I think this is the first. So, and that, you know, brings along some interesting questions and stuff when we're going into it. But everything's been great. Everybody's working fantastically together. You know, we're all kind of a big family, honestly. And so it's been wonderful. And it's kind of a cool experience for everyone, too, to work with each other. So it's been awesome.
And in being here in Joplin, too, and have you been here for the full 4 weeks, the prep time?
I was here about 12 days before the build started.
Okay.
So a little while before.
And driving around the city.
Crazy.
And did you fly into Joplin?
I didn't, but I've been driving around a lot. We actually did. Went up in a chopper to get some aerials and stuff.
Oh, you did?
Uh-huh.
Can I have a ride?
I know. It was great. No, it was great. But it was very...
Well, it's one of those things that is great to be able to get up in the helicopter and fly around and see everything.
We're not making light.
No, but here, I mean, just driving to the site from our motel, every single time I've driven it, I'm just heartbreaking every single time.
It is. It really is. It's humbling. And I tell everybody that I've run into here that it's so different seeing it on the ground and being here than on the news. I feel like everybody's very desensitized to seeing things on the news. But when you're here and you're driving around, it's just really, it's humbling and it's crazy
to
see.
It kind of feels like one of those things where you can't get it inside your TV.
You see full telephone
poles that have clearly been twisted and ripped off right at the ground.
And telephone poles.
Telephone poles. Like this for those watching on Ustream. Trees just ripped naked.
Yeah, I mean...
Taking a photo of everything really doesn't do... I was trying to take some photos and then send them to, you know, friends and family back home. And I'd look at the photo I took and I said, I can't send this because it doesn't really even capture a hint of what...
You're
what
totally
I'm
right.
seeing
no, it doesn't
in the real life.
It doesn't
yeah.
all. And it's the little things, too, that you see, I think, sometimes, like, just right over across the way. Obviously, our listeners can't see where I'm pointing, but there's... You
behind
know, there's,
everyone.
Yeah, but there's a building...
You can turn around, you can see it.
That was totally stripped. Right, there's a building that's stripped, and you look, you know, I just noticed for the first time the other day that some of the metal siding from that building is, like, wrapped around the top of a tree, you know, 50 yards away, and it's just...
Oh, my God.
Just the force of the storm is just unreal.
Trees and notice a place that's literally all four walls are down... But there's still cans of food
and
on a
cereal
shelf
boxes
inside
the person's house.
Yes,
I mean, I just can't even imagine how that could still be there.
Clothes and toys and stuff. It just makes you realize, like, these people, I mean, you know, people's lives were just blown away. It's just crazy.
Well, and today is the 6 months since it happened.
Right.
And there was a moment of silence here just a couple of hours ago to recognize it. So that was really, it's really something, too.
Oh, it's unbelievable. And from, not many people are going to get to see this from a helicopter. Was it different up there, worse, better, or just more of the experience?
It's just a different perspective, but again, it's the impact of it really hits you because, you know, you see these dense trees and houses and stuff, and then you just see just this exact path of where the storm traveled, and it looks like a giant bulldozer went through or something. And it really is hard to, like, kind of wrap your head around the force of this thing and what it really did.
And it's amazing too, and you know, look, I did see some photos online, and you can search online and see before and after of like the park here of, you know, what it looked like before and what it looked like after, and you know, I just walking around and driving around and trying to imagine what it looked like before. It's just I can't even get my head around it.
Yeah, it's hard to imagine. I keep trying to put myself here that day and try to think what I would do or what, you know, what that experience would be like, but it's almost impossible to really...
Well, and the stories of the seven families, too. I mean, each one of them crushed me in a different way.
Yeah, and it's one of those things, too, that we, you know, when we took this build and everything, we, even though it's the biggest we've ever done, we still feel like we're not doing enough because there's so many people that have these stories and even just people around town and that are out here volunteering today have similar, you know, stories of just tragedy and stuff and losing so much. That we wish we could do more, but it's crazy.
Yeah, I am not jealous of whoever had to sit around the table and decide which family.
No, me either.
I mean,
me either.
Because every story, I mean, people just, you know, we are meeting a lot of people from the town. It's just like I wouldn't want to have to have that job to decide who gets a house and who, you know, doesn't.
It's tough. It's really tough.
Because everyone's story is just so
like
dramatic.
I said, yeah, we almost there was like a moment of, can we even. do this because we feel like it's a drop of water in a bucket. But at the same time, what we're hoping is that, you know, maybe we can be, even though it's just a drop of water in a bucket, be a catalyst to get things going and bring some more positive energy to Joplin, you know what I mean? And kind of,
yeah. And the other thing too is not only, you know, did Extreme Makeover come here to Joplin and building 7 houses in 7 days and also, you know, working on the park here, the Cunningham Park. But it's all the people that are coming to town too. There's so many people that have come
from
to
everywhere.
Town from all over the place, staying in all the motels, buying food and everything. And it must, you know, I've been getting this from everywhere I've been. Is thank you so much for being here. Thank you. And I think that positive energy.
Absolutely.
I hope it carries through.
Yeah,
and it's
going
to have to carry us into a break.
It is.
Ben, thank you so much for joining
us.
Thanks
for having
thank you for your
for
good work.
Here. Thank
Take
you.
Care. All we'll right. be back with more of my Fix It Up Life from Joplin, Missouri.
There's a boy on the side of the road, and he's wondering which way to go. No one ever told him no. Hurting though it doesn't show. He spent his whole life chasing that
Fix It Up Life is brought to you in part by Stanley Tools, supplier of carpentry hand tools, laser measuring tools, automotive tools, tool sets, and toolboxes for construction professionals, mechanics, and home improvement enthusiasts. For more than 165 years, the Stanley brand has been synonymous with quality, reliable products for the job site, workshop, and garage. For more information about Stanley products, visit stanleytools.com or call 1-800-STANLEY today.
Catch your blue ribbon. Is anybody standing with you?
And you are inside my Fix It Up Life with my husband Mark.
And my wife Teresa and Tim Williams singing 3 out of my 5 favorite songs.
All
or 5
at the same
of my
time.
3. Oh, that song is great. And he's joined us here on the ground from the set of Extreme Makeover in Joplin, Missouri.
Yeah.
And we are joined by
Another friend. Yeah.
And a carpenter that you may recognize not from being here in Joplin, Missouri, but from being on DIY Dominator on the DIY Network.
With the, like, insane Grundy.
How insane, Greg DiBernardo, Bergen Dex in Bergen, New Jersey.
Thank you.
How just whacked out of the park is Grundy?
Grundy is probably the most unstable individual I've ever come across. Not to say he's not a very nice guy, but he's a character. The guy that is not fake Chris Grundy, what's on television. He really is that energetic when the camera's off. He starts singing and dancing. He'll say cut in the middle of the scene to do a tap dance spontaneously that just strikes him as the mood comes to him. So it was real fun working with him. He and I had a lot of banter back and forth, and he was a cool guy.
Sweet, sweet. Now, how did you get involved with it in the first place?
I'm a member of NADRA, which is the North American Deck and Railing Association. It's our trade association for deck builders. And one of the guys that I know from NADRA is a technical advisor for the DIY Network when they do shoots.
Okay.
And when they were looking to put together a deck building competition, he said, "You got to call this guy Greg from New Jersey, apparently because I am a character too." And
yes, you are.
I can vouch for
that.
Yeah,
we've been working with you here at Extreme Makeover for a few days.
Is that good or bad, though?
Well, you know, the other day, or what was it, earlier today, because it's just the days of, like, they're just all together here.
We're all working, Greg included. We are gunning out 20-hour shifts.
Yes, at the Real Outdoor Living playset that we're building at Cunningham Park. And I was trying to make a decision about something, and I saw you, and I said, I need someone who's very opinionated.
You got the right guy.
Yeah, exactly. So. And you did. You gave me a really good opinion. So there you go.
I tried.
Very strong opinion.
I tried.
Yes.
That's from New Jersey. I can't help it.
You know what Greg thinks. There's no question about it.
No. Just like you.
Well, the ground here is basically a solid rock. And I'm doing something on one part of the playset, and I look at Greg and our other friend Andy Doyle Remodeling, who's helping us, and they are in a hole. I thought a bomb went off. and I know they know what they're doing. And I just walked over and I said, I have to preface the next comment with this comment. I know you guys know what's going on, but what are you doing? And he just looked up at me and said, just keep walking.
Yeah, just walking.
Just don't.
As a deck builder, I've dug a lot of holes in my life, and I've never seen, this isn't dirt. It's like lava rock or limestone. It's impossible to dig, and you happen to design a nice project that has like 60-something holes in it.
I tried.
Yeah.
You flatter me. You just flatter me.
Yeah,
thanks.
Yeah. So
Keep flattering me.
So I got very.
I know you're good. So I want to challenge all of you.
It was a challenge.
Yes. Yeah.
I got a lot of seat time in the skid steer with the auger, as you guys saw. So
you're an incredible operator.
Oh.
You came out of nowhere. I drive that thing at like 1 mile a day.
Yes.
We got to get it done.
You got to get it done.
So,
of course, I'd be out in the middle of the street, like, banging in the cars.
I was glad I could bring something to the table other than a hammer and a saw. So, but, no, we got through it, and I'll be honest with you guys. If I never dig a hole another day in my life, it'll be a day too soon.
Hey, I was like that before I got here.
Yeah, me too. So.
Well, I think all the holes are dug now for our
No,
place.
I got...
We have another?
I have six... No, five more to go, and then I'm going to drive the skid steer.
Oh,
like,
that's right,
off the cliff.
I forgot.
So,
I forgot about that other thing that we're doing that we can't talk about.
Right.
Yeah.
And a funny thing, a guy came up and says, hey, can I borrow the skid steer for a minute? I said, yeah. I said, but keep it within where I can see it because I've grown emotionally attached to this thing. And
have you named it? Is it like, you
no,
know,
no, but
like Bessie or something?
No, I should. But I've really got comfort. I know where the cup holder is in it now. You know?
Nice.
I know where to put my cell phone so I can see if I get a text. I'm
seriously?
It's like, yeah, it's like the inside of my truck at this point.
Do you have someone coming up and delivering you coffee, too?
That's a good idea.
That's a great idea. You've been in that thing for so long that it's probably more accumulated time in the last 3 days than if your truck's 5 years old than you spend in it.
Well,
because these are long days.
Yeah, they're long, but you know what? It's for a good cause, so it's you don't mind doing it. You don't even care. I mean, I don't even know what day is it.
It's a
Saturday.
Saturday,
yes.
The 22nd.
All right, so it's Saturday.
About 8:20 at night. 7:20, 8:20 where we live.
Right, so, you know, you just keep going. As long as they have massages here. You guys got to go get a massage.
Bye.
Well, see, the thing at Extreme Makeover is so wonderful is that, you know, not only is everyone here donating their time and, you know, all of the companies like Real Outdoor Living and Stanley and DeWalt are donating all kinds of products to help build the houses and... But also, people from the community are bringing water and bringing Gatorade and catering the food tent, and people donate their time to give massages to all the people working, and it's just so much stuff that it makes working long days more comfortable.
You don't even mind it. I mean, and the thing I keep saying to everybody is that, you know, I own a business. I have people that work for me. I have never had a person I've paid work as hard as these people that are working for free for me.
Wow.
You know, I mean that. It is unbelievable. The people that...
You should fire them.
Right.
Immediately when you get home. Hi, how you doing? How's it like to be without a job?
Yeah. I mean, if somebody isn't skilled, they come out and they just want to do something.
Yes.
So they're literally picking up rocks with their bare hands and making piles of rocks.
As fast as they can.
As fast as they can, like an army. And they'll do that all day. They don't complain. I have not heard a complaint. Anybody.
So when you go back home,
that's a great observation.
And you're working on projects
with your fire
in the real world,
right?
Not in the Extreme Makeover Home Edition
right.
world. And guys aren't picking up rocks with their bare hands. Are you going to be okay?
I'm pretty sure that you don't pick up rocks in real life on a job site. But I can tell you what, I've never seen the output from people. You know, I'm actually having to tell perfect strangers to go home because I'm like, you've been here so long that you've been on two or three shift changes and I got enough coffee. You got to go. You got to take a break.
Yeah.
It's a marathon, not a sprint, you know.
You can't, and you're just like it. You can't
and
peel you guys off
we
the
We have to take a break, too.
You're going to have to peel us off of this. We'll be back with more My Fix It Up Life from Joplin, Missouri.
Replacing a roof is a major investment. When considering your options, make sure to investigate synthetic roofing slate and shake tiles from DaVinci Roofscapes. Cost-effective and made to last, DaVinci's weather-resistant roofing tiles have a 50-year warranty. A DaVinci roof provides long-term comfort and security, along with adding great beauty to the exterior. It's no wonder thousands of homeowners have chosen DaVinci slate and shake tiles. For more information, visit DaVinciRoofscapes.com or call 1-800-328-4624.
Find sometimes that it's harder to stay by your side. In the end, I will be by your side.
You're not excited. Yes, no. Tim, press all the buttons. Press them all.
Tim is messing with us, I think. He's playing little tricks on us.
It's like when you get a bad cell phone connection, you can't hear
the other
person.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me now? Yeah,
people
exactly.
Just hang up on me. I'm talking to myself half the time. But we are talking to Sam, who's one of the lead contractors of the many on this project. But you're got to be, like, top of the game here.
Yeah, we're having a good time. I tell you, it's neat to see all these volunteers helping us build these houses.
Well, you kind of can tell, you know, status by how much stuff is attached to here.
Yeah.
So, you know, if we have a question, because we're building the playset over at Cunningham Park.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you have a problem, you want to look for someone that has a lot of stuff strapped to them.
If you're watching online, you can see all the production guys and the lead builders have this special kind of chest harness where they have, we have like 47 walkie-talkies on your earpieces. You could go to the moon right now.
Yeah, all right.
You literally probably could launch. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, there's a lot of gear on me. It's just, you know, it's pretty interesting because you got people yelling this ear and people yelling this ear, and we got the radio or your phone going, so it's kind of crazy.
Now, are you married?
Oh yeah.
So is it kind of like that?
I got a great wife.
Oh, that's good. Because my husband would say it's kind of like that. If he had to,
she talks constantly. I love you.
I don't talk constantly.
Three words for my one baseline.
Yeah, well, pretty much, maybe. I don't think so. Well, probably because your voice is gone.
Oh, man. Yeah, how didn't you lose your voice yelling at all your employees?
No, come on. We haven't had to yell at anybody. I tell you, this has been a great group effort. You know, one thing about the build that you do something like this is that competitors are with each other working. We get the best out of everybody because, you know, one competitor is not going to let him, you know, his style of work be less than the other guy.
That's
so, you know, the quality of these houses are just unbelievable.
How did you get involved with it?
You know, I did a house a couple of years ago in the Springfield area and just kind of developed a relationship with the crew. Every so often we just communicate and talk to each other, and being that this is close to this area, when the storm came through, I got a call probably about 3 weeks afterwards and said, "Hey, would you come down for breakfast?" And you know, it's like, "Well, yeah, sure, you know, whatever." And just kind of started talking to them about the project and what they were thinking about maybe coming to Joplin at the time. They didn't know what to do, and they were looking at a different area maybe to go to. And so it just kind of developed from there. And we actually, the seven houses didn't happen until probably maybe 4 weeks afterwards when we had decided to do something.
Wow.
And how did that kind of develop? Was it like a brainstorming kind of session? Or?
You know, it really was. We sat down and just started talking, and we both, you know, the first thing I said, I go, "It can't be one house." And he goes, "Yeah, we're exactly thinking the same thing, that, you know, maybe we'll do a community center, maybe we'll build a couple houses." A couple houses came from, you know, just maybe doing some different things, and from there, it just kind of grew to just fit right to. And I think Extreme, a couple of years ago, was thinking about maybe, or it may have been always in the back of mind, what could we even do, seven houses in 7 days, you know? You know, it was always back in their mind. And the number just kind of grew to seven. Obviously, they had a task to make sure they had the families they wanted, and I'm sure that probably wasn't easy. I mean, they had thousands of, you know, they probably had hundreds of people that they were talking to.
Yeah, I can't even imagine.
I don't even want to think about it.
It'd be tough.
It would be very tough.
Now, so are you kind of working hand in glove with other builders that are in the area?
Yeah, what we did is when we decided to do that big of a project, I started talking to other builders to be a part of this. I talked to Charlie at Four State Homes, and I said, "Charlie, I'm going to need some help on this. Would you be willing to take the night shift and do that gig?" And he says, "Absolutely. You know, I'll do it." And he talked to some of the other builders. There's builders on this site that I didn't know until we started doing this project.
Right.
And great guys. I mean, we've got a great group of builders. And, you know, I contacted some of my friends up in Springfield to maybe come to Joplin and help the rebuild. And, man, everybody's just been really gung-ho about doing something like this. It's just a really neat feeling.
Wow. Well, so you get to meet all these different builders, and builders like to put a lot into their offices. So who has the nicest office? Who's got the 17-piece crown molding dental?
Yeah, I mean, there's some good builders here, I'll just say it. You know,
You're good.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's you.
Well, we've got some different size contractors here. You know, we've got a contractor that's taking care of the park. I'm sure you probably talked about Crossland. They're just doing a wonderful job up there, helping Drury get their memorial done, the tribute that they have. We've got two pretty big commercial contractors that are working together on one house. And, you know, that's kind of neat to see that, you know, because they had their certain way, and to get actually bigger contractors together might be a struggle, but, man, they jumped all over it.
Wow. Seriously.
That is super cool.
It is absolutely amazing.
21 builders are on this project.
21 builders.
Yeah. And we're all getting along.
Okay.
You guys are going to have the biggest rap party of all time.
Yeah, it should be fun. I tell you, for me, I've been working since basically second week of June on this.
Wow.
And it's not been a full time until probably July, but we've been working really hard to get it ready. And a lot of the guys that are helping us, you know, they went to a lot of meetings to try to get this, you know, prepped up. So obviously, it's been running great. I mean, we've had a great time. But to get there, to do that, we had to have a lot of meetings, a lot of coordination for this.
Well, we're going to have to meet with a break.
We are.
Which we're taking right now. We'll be back
with
more of my Fix It Up Live.
We're searching for a place that's home. What you always fail to find. While you're wandering around.
Add more curb appeal to your home.
Create a memorable entrance with Therma-True fiberglass doors and Fipon synthetic trim that won't warp, crack, or rot.
And give you those rich details that make your home a showpiece.
Make your great entrance by visiting Therma-True.com and Fipon.com.
Pamper your skin the way nature intended with Green Street Luxuries. Green Street Luxuries offers you vegan and vegetarian-friendly homemade luxury soaps, lotions, and skincare products that have natural and healing ingredients. Try Green Street Luxuries today at greenstreetlux.com.
And you're back inside my Fix It Up Life with Mark and Teresa. Apparently, I'm the only one here. Go ahead and keep chatting.
I'm having some girl talk.
I heard you saying that Teresa talks three words to your one, and guess what?
The crickets.
We don't even care.
No, not really. We were talking about kids.
So, what's going on with Fix It Up Life right now?
They're not listening.
Is my what? No, I'm narrating.
No one really cares.
Here.
Not at all.
Is Tracy Hudson a designer for my Fix It Up Life?
Extreme
Makeover Home Edition.
Oh, I got
that
hired.
Would be awesome.
Yeah,
you're hired.
I'm moonlighting.
Is talking with my designer wife, Teresa Clement, from my Fix It Up Life, and what they're talking about is I've no idea. So I now have to come up with my own conversation. How am I doing so far?
Well, we just solved
Whatever.
All the world's problems,
That's
so
cool.
Maybe you should pay attention next time. Just going to say.
Take some notes. You want my notebook?
I. No one's included me in the conversation.
I have to say, I was just over grabbing some coffee and saw this gorgeous woman, and I was like, I know you. I didn't even know that you guys were coming.
Oh,
I was
seriously?
So excited. I'm like, heck yeah.
Oh, I was excited Marcia, that I just ran into you, too, because I knew
awesome.
You. I haven't been over here. I've been at the park the whole time.
Yeah, and we're all spread so
yeah.
thin and trying to... you know, absorb of as much of what happened in Joplin as possible, and just the cleanup and going to the schools and the elementary schools and meeting these everyday heroes, you know, that have been out and about in the community, and not only just building these seven homes together with our team, but, you know, we're trying to make it as big as possible, but I'm so impressed, aren't you, just at meeting these fantastic people here?
I can't even begin to describe it. It's just so overwhelming because, you know, I'm over at the park, which is not as secure as this is. So people just come up from just everywhere and just come up and tell me stories, and I'm just overwhelmed every single time.
Yeah, and they're excited about this.
And just for the record, even though we're in Joplin, just like at home, no one talks to me.
Why? I'm talking to you.
I'm by myself over there.
It's kind of true.
Mark, do you need a hug?
I kind of do.
Do you? Okay.
He's got that New England countenance. Where
is anybody filming this?
Okay, yeah.
Oh,
you're going to be okay.
Thank
do you feel a little neglected? Oh. I'm sorry. Oh, yeah. See, we care.
That's
we
awesome.
Do.
See? You can think about that
now,
later.
Back to us. Okay, so.
I'm not even going to say anything.
So you've been around to the schools, and you've been...
The elementary school up the street is completely wiped out.
Yeah.
As you know, the hospital right here by the park, which you've been looking at every day. The church is here. I mean, it's just so much larger than we can see, of course, just here on this block. But even going to the elementary school that they now have, you know, carry their classes at, all of these kids are now being bussed in, and they're just making ends meet. But 90% of these kids in this school are displaced, homeless, 90%. And we're talking...
90%.
Yeah. And it's amazing. There's this wonderful program here called Art Feeds, that's what it's called. But two great girls, young girls, Brooke and Megan, have started this program where they take arts into schools. So they had done this before the tornado, and they lost everything. They lost their little van, their vagabond-style art projects, their apartment, their office, but yeah, so we're doing some great things for them this week. But I was able to go to one of their sessions at the class, so it had this whole school in the cafeteria in this new school, so they're all making ends meet, and they've got, you know, these modular units in the back, and just trying to make it as big as possible.
Sure.
It didn't even have a kitchen. It was just this abandoned building that's now their elementary school. And
see
all these kids, and you walk around, and they all have these notebooks. And these are young, you know, 5, 6, 7-year-olds, and they're drawing tornadoes still. And they're, you know, drawing what their home used to look like. And you're walking around, and that was really just a big eye-opener for me to, you know, to see and hear these kids. And the teachers say every time it even rains, they know that all their students are going to show up really tired because nobody sleeps. These little kids are just scared that another tornado is going to come through. So it's... More importantly, these kids are just, you know, still kids, and they're thriving, and now they have a school. And what they've done, they've taken these big cardboard boxes and filled their whole play yard with it, and they're rebuilding Joplin. So it's big cardboard
no
boxes.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, everything from restaurants to banks to
if
hospitals.
That's not inspiring, I don't
it
know
what.
It
was the cutest. It was so stinking cute. It was awesome. So just to see the hope in these little kids, it, you know, it starts from, you know, young to the very old, so it's been... an inspiration for sure.
That's
to be
kind
here.
Of like, you know, I was talking with the parks director over here who said, if you can find something cool about this, it's that. It's that human spirit to continue, to carry on no matter what.
Yeah.
And he had me riveted to that very thing you're talking about, that just, we just continue.
Yeah, the human spirit is pretty remarkable. And it is, I keep hearing, you know, strangers becoming neighbors because, you know, everyone had to lend a hand.
Now, has that inspired, and I'm not asking you to tell any details, but has that inspired kind of some of the design elements that you're bringing into some of the houses?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You know, you've got 7 houses, 7
okay,
very
tell us specifically where you're doing.
Well, my paint color, 5-2-zoo. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Every family is so different and so unique, and every house reflects that. And, you know, our builders are so amazing, and the volunteers are so amazing. And but, yes, every detail of the houses that I'm working on in particular, are, you know, they're, you know, it's very
So are you working on specific houses of the 7?
Yeah, we all are. And we're all helping each other out, too.
Okay.
I mean, you know, heck.
So you've gotten to meet the families that you're working for the different houses. And how is that, you know, as you're working on it, as you're designing it, and you're thinking about them.
Yeah.
And, you know, for any extreme makeover, it's just, but, you know, you're I don't know, more of like you have...
You're working more. There's more
yeah,
to do.
Yeah, there's more to do.
Yeah.
And you're thinking about a lot of different people, and
right.
everybody has a very special story, and everybody's story is just so dramatic. Like,
I
how
know.
Do you juggling all of that in your brain
but,
and
you know,
working?
Honestly, it takes the pressure off of, you know, what these families need is a roof over their head. They want to live in Joplin. They want their neighborhoods back. They would like a safe place for their kids, you know, to go to sleep at night. But the one thing that every single one of these families told us, the one thing that they had in common is right after that tornado hit, nothing else mattered. No material possession, nothing. It was either we're alive or unfortunately, you know, some of these families didn't have survivors. And it's just, you know, you just have to stay focused and know that it's, you know, trying to stay as positive as possible. I mean, it was a very emotional first few days here. You couldn't help but just absorb what's been going on. But you want to stay positive. There was a moment, like Paul and I, we did our own little, like, okay, break team, because I said, I just can't cry anymore. I'm exhausted and we're working so hard. You know, like, let's stay focused. Let's have fun.
Yeah.
You know, this is a positive, positive thing. It was such a horrible thing that happened, but, you know, everyone's trying to sort of shift the energy here and stay positive, and it's for such a wonderful thing. So, and in a few days, there will be 7 families that get to come home to this wonderful neighborhood, and they're all neighbors now. And, you know, with the park and all the other projects we have going on,
That's incredible. And now, I don't know these stories.
Oh, okay.
Of these people.
Oh.
Were they neighbors before?
No, not at all.
Did they
this
know each other?
Completely wiped out. This actually, these lots were donated from a church, and
wow.
we were able to build on them. And all the houses that stood here, this was a beautiful neighborhood, a historical neighborhood, and it was all of those families lost their homes. And so through that, we're just, you know, trying to get to the heart of Joplin and where this tornado devastated so terribly. But, you know, they didn't know each other. They all have very unique, very different stories. I actually take that back. 2 of the family members did know each other. There's 2 mothers named Crystal that actually were next door neighbors, and they are still neighbors here.
Oh my
and
goodness.
And both of those mothers lost children in the tornado, so, you know, it's just rebuilding, and you know, they each have a child that survived, and, you know, it's just being moms, and, you know, you get up in the morning and you do the best you can with what you have. And I think getting them back into a neighborhood where they can see their kids smile and play again, I think that's going to mean a lot more than we'll ever know. Yeah.
Okay, I can't even say anything.
Yeah, I'm going to have to talk
just for the
sake of saying something.
It does put things in perspective.
Yeah.
And even Crystal, I mean, not to take it there, but this is the reality of it. Even Crystal, who lost her son Zachary, she says now, you know, she's got a 4-year-old son, David, and she's saying, you know, all of those mundane things, the monotony of life, the dishes, the laundry, the this. She's like, you just, you know, it's okay to put those aside. Just absorb and look at the beauty and, you know, just, you know, it's life is very precious and fragile. And
you can't really, you know, nothing really speaks to that as much as driving through here.
Yeah.
Just driving through, even if you don't know anybody, no one comes up to you and tells you their story. Just driving down the road.
And to sort of paint the word picture a little bit, I mean, everybody here has seen it. For people who aren't here, there are literally concrete stairs that go to nowhere.
Oh, yeah.
There are foundation slabs with nothing on them. Mm-hmm. You drive through one part of town, and the street lights are on, businesses are open, and then it's dark for a while.
Yeah.
And you're driving.
Yeah.
And then the lights mm-hmm. come back on, and it's almost kind of like an experience I had once at the Vietnam War Memorial, where you go down into it and come back out,
mm-hmm.
and it is quite literally mind-bending.
Yeah.
She's not making it up.
No, it is. It's a war zone. But, you know, again, we're helping rebuild. We got to start somewhere, and there's amazing. It's not just us. I mean, we see construction building. You know, you hear Joplin residents say the leaves are coming back, the bark is coming back on the trees. There is regrowth. It's going to take a while, but Habitat for Humanity, I know, is coming out here and has been out here. People do care, and it will slowly rebuild.
Well, yeah, I want to.
This must be a great jump start for everybody.
Can I just have your water?
You totally can.
We're like sisters.
I know. So
you must have been. You must just be talking to everybody, and I don't mean Chatty Cathy. I mean meeting
people,
all these different people, and having all these different conversations. And I mean, I don't know how you could lose your voice at all.
You and I both. Oh, my gosh. I woke up this morning and I had no voice. It's hot water and honey. That's all I can tell you. That's
Could I borrow some hot water and honey?
I've been telling him to, for the last 2 days that he's lost his voice, to have honey and hot tea, and he's been saying no, no, no.
No, I'm too tough.
He had to hear it from you.
And here's the tough thing.
You can't
thing.
Listen to your wife.
Here's
I mean,
the tough
seriously,
news I have to give.
We have to go to break. So go to TracyHudson.com and go to JoinExtreme.com to follow the progress on this project, and we'll be back in just a minute with more My Fix It Up Life.
In your ocean, I'm ankle deep. Feel the waves crashing on my feet. It's like I know where I need to be. Though I can't figure out. I can't figure out.
Want to turn a kitchen or bath from drab to fab? Tile it yourself with Bondera.
If you can paint or wallpaper, you can put in beautiful new tile yourself using Bondera.
Bondera makes tiling faster, easier, and cleaner than using mortar or mastic.
It's an advanced, pressure-sensitive adhesive on a roll
that repels water, is mold-resistant, and environmentally friendly.
Saving time and money is beautiful with Bondera Tile Mat Set.
Visit BonderaTileMatSet.com for more information.
Or grab a roll at Lowe's today.
This is my desire. Do me like a fire. I just want something beautiful to touch me. I know that I'm in a reach.
And you are back inside my Fix It Up Life with my husband, Mark.
And my wife, Teresa, here on the Extreme Makeover Home Edition, about to rain set. Here in Joplin, Missouri.
Yeah, it might rain. We might have to cut it a little short because we're outside.
And we will continue because I sat across from Chris Cotton here, who's the director of Parks and Recreation in Joplin, Missouri, who told a story that of his experience here with this tornado that you talked for about an hour and a half, and I wanted it to continue. It was amazing.
Well, it was a very interesting night. Say the least, it was good, bad, a lot of bad mostly, but saw a lot of good things. I saw a lot of people step up and help, but overall, it was not a good experience.
You said one thing, and Tracy Hudson said this before that I'm sort of keying in on. Amidst all of it, good comes of these kinds of things in a way.
Yeah. What I was amazed about was, you know, my first day on the job here was March 1st. My family wasn't even living here yet. They were still living in Kansas City, which is where I came from.
And the tornado was May 22nd.
May 22nd. And I woke up in Harrisonville, Missouri that morning, and my wife was fussing at me to get stuff done at the house there to get ready to go on the market. And so I was trying to get our house ready there to go on the market, but I also had a house here. We bought a fix-it-upper down here, so I was trying to get things done here. So, you know, I was like, look, I've got to get to Joplin. And anyway, I rode back into town. I got here about 3:30 in the afternoon and went to Lowe's and was buying all the stuff I needed to build a privacy fence. About 5 o'clock, Lowe's was filling my truck. And about 5:10, 5:15, somewhere in that range, I was at the stoplight in front of Home Depot. And
oh my.
That's about the time that they're breaking in on the radio saying, you know, tornado watch, imminent hail. They were saying softball, golf ball to softball size hail. So I got home. And I was more worried about anything. We had a new family car, so I was trying to worry about getting it in the garage. Of course, the garage is full of all the boxes and everything for moving. And anyway, so I get home, and then about that's the time the hail starts and the tornado starts to start going off. And I was watching TV, and I don't remember which station it was, but they started talking about how the tornado was on the ground, and then they thought they were off the air, but they weren't off the air. And you could see the tornado, and it was raining really hard. And then the rain started to kind of let up a little bit. So being the parks director, I just got in my truck and went to start checking the parks. And I got to Schifferdecker Park, which is where my office is, and I was taking stock of the trees. And I was like, well, that's not too bad. You know, I get a chainsaw crew on this, chainsaw crew on that. And one of my employees, his name's Cody Smith, he came in, and he was pretty upset. He was saying, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Like, what are you talking about? And he said, the hospital's gone. And then I just didn't really sink in that the hospital was gone.
How but, could that sink in? It's unimaginable.
It's not something that you hear every day.
Those words don't go together.
Yes.
So I started to head up Main Lane. Of course, there was no power. Street lights were down. So I jumped over on Annie Baxter and started going up Annie Baxter. And when I got closer to the storm zone, saw a tree down, saw a couple trees down. And then if you drive down Annie Baxter closer to Cunningham Park, you'll see there's kind of a little rise. And I came over that little rise, and there was a house on its side. And so then it really started to kind of sink in, okay, this isn't just a little tornado. This is, you know, kept going down. Then I saw the hospital, and I was kind of like, okay, well, where's the park? And then all I saw left of the park, I saw the some of the playground equipment standing up. So.
And that was it?
That was
it. Park that used to be full of trees, full of all kinds of stuff.
116 trees, to be exact. So $800,000 worth of trees gone in a couple seconds.
I just can't even imagine. I just absolutely.
So as Parks and Recreation Director, who's been on the job for a month and a half, where do you drive next? I mean, what do you do?
Well, Memorial Hall is kind of the city's backup building, if you will. It's emergency center for the citizens, and so I started to make my way there, and I started trying to call people in. But we lost so many cell towers, and everybody was overloading the circuit, so I couldn't hardly, you know, I couldn't reach my staff. But hit or miss, I got a hold of a couple of people, and news information started to get in. And somewhere between 6:30 and 6:40, I made it to Memorial Hall. And then just when I got there, there was a few people there. Some of my staff was there. One of our employees, Cody Hubbard, ran 2 miles. I heard to get there, so because everything was down, he couldn't get his truck through the street. So,
oh my God!
He was there, and he showed up in cut-off T-shirt and shorts, but he was ready to go to work. And Parks crew did a great job that night. I mean, the city as a whole came together, but the park staff, you know, they really stepped up, worked Memorial Hall for hours, countless hours, to make sure that everybody had what they needed there.
Now, how long did it take for you to talk to your family for them to know that you were okay?
I called my wife. Somewhere on my way, I turned my truck around and was headed up Annie Baxter mm-hmm. towards Memorial Hall, and I called my wife and I said, you know, I'm okay and our house is okay, but I'm going to be really busy and you're not going to hear, you know, from me for a while. And then I got to Memorial Hall, and then it just, people just started coming, and they just kept coming and coming and coming. First they came in and pick up trucks and cars, and then they started showing up in school buses, and we just kept working.
So what... When you learned about Extreme Makeover Home Edition coming here and that they were going to be working on the park here at Cunningham, what was your reaction?
Well, I mean, obviously I'm very thankful that they came to help us. Mm-hmm. You know, right after the storm, you know, we spent so much time cleaning the park. And when you see a park, you know, kids go to parks, and our park was destroyed. So... We spent countless hours, and the state sent state park employees to help us clean the park. And every day, we literally raked the park, broken glass, broken radios, broken... I mean, we found pieces of VHS tape. I mean, everything you can imagine was in the park. The fence that used to be around the tennis court and the basketball court acted like a big windscreen, big net. And so we had just all kinds of debris wrapped
up
in
that. Oh,
wow. The bathroom, you know, that's being converted to a shelter, of course, it was destroyed. All the glass block that was around the top imploded the night of the storm. So a lot of cleanup. And, you know, some of those citizens were wanting us to hurry up and get the park back. But you don't go back and rebuild a neighborhood park when there's no neighborhood. It sends the wrong message to your citizens. So we've just taken our time. But now, you know, with homes going up, now's the time to bring it back. And obviously the show is helping us bring it back faster than we could do it on our own, so we're very thankful for that.
Wow, you know, what's coming across to me, and what I was lucky enough to talk with you before, what's come across to me is something that the people here are maybe luckier for than Extreme Makeover, as great as the show is your continued leadership, level head, obviously a big heart. I am impressed.
And we've been watching you work, too. So.
And you, I've seen you in a hole. I've
yes.
seen you cut a
you,
tree root out.
You jump right in. Whatever's
I've
happening,
you
and you help fix
do.
The problems. Yeah.
And I've seen us, unfortunately, have to take a break.
We do.
We'll be back with more from the set of Extreme Makeover in Joplin, Missouri, with my Fix It Up Life.
put on my blue suede shoes and thank you to Walt for the tent down in the damp in the middle of the pouring rain. WC Handy down over me. Yeah, I got a first class ticket, but I'm as blue as a boy can be.
Thinking about building a deck? Before you build, take time to dream a little.
And check out Destination Deck Series at realoutdoorliving.com for deck plans designed for every style of home.
Unique and customizable, click right through for a custom deck plan that fits your family and your home.
Your decking material of choice? Real natural wood. It's durable, beautiful, safe, and the best choice for the environment.
Spend your days outdoors enjoying fun, food, and family. And your beautiful new real wood deck.
Realoutdoorliving.com.
Wood. It's real.
Down in the land of the Delta Blue, middle of the pouring rain. Touchdown in the land of the Delta Blue, in the middle of the pouring rain.
How's everybody? We are doing great, Brady Canal, executive producer of Extreme Makeover Home Edition, our special guest, our friend, all-around nice guy.
Yes.
Okay.
Taking time out of his busy schedule because you're in charge of this whole thing.
That would be a major overstatement.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you're the executive producer.
Right.
And your team is the lead team of the Alpha Bravo team that are here.
Make us feel good.
That's right.
Make
you guys know your stuff, man.
Okay.
Good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Our voices kind of sound the same. It's been a long week.
At least I'm not the only
See,
one.
I don't talk more than you because my voice is fine.
My voice was vaporized within like 3 hours of being here. I don't know what happened.
Right. Well, I did a lot of the work beforehand with designing the play structure over at the park.
Right.
And then, you know, once we got here and started digging holes and he started, you know,
there is no
task
shortage
masking
of jackhammers, cut off saws,
to try and talk over all of it and, you know.
And dust.
And dust.
And prior to getting here, while she planned, I just run around the house screaming.
He actually does.
Like
kind of crazy.
Yeah, Ty has that problem too.
Good morning, Teresa! No, he doesn't really do.
Imagine the first day here when we door knocked on 7 family homes and Ty had to say good morning, you know, each family name over and over and over again.
Was he smoked by the end? I mean,
yeah, it was actually, we had to split up. It was just, it's too much to do in one day.
Well,
so Ty door knocked on a couple of houses and then we sent the other designers off in their respective buses, other buses. So it was a huge, like, Joplin wide door knock day, and then everyone converged at the park, at Cunningham Park.
We watched that. We were here. We were actually parked in our hot rental car.
Yeah,
Brady. I was parked in the hot rental car while he was doing stuff, because it was cold that night.
Yeah, Brady, right. If you happen to see a white Lincoln driving around town.
That is our tough job site car, you know?
You can have a ride.
Gotcha.
He still drives like he's driving a truck, but he's inside this like, white Lincoln. So in everybody else's perspective, they don't really expect someone driving a white Lincoln to be driving the way he drives.
Gotcha.
I bring a walker, though, when I get out of it so I can fit in.
Aww.
You know what I mean?
When your voice matches the whole image.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
How are you doing?
Great.
I mean,
it's astonishing where we are at right now at the end of the day.
Yeah, you look
day.
Very calm.
Yeah, well, we have a great staff, and we have an amazing build team. You know, you've heard 21 builders. I'm sure you talked to Sam, and it's an extraordinary philanthropic event. I mean, it's the biggest thing that we've ever seen, and I mean, certainly when we conceived it, we thought, you know, maybe we could pull it off. And I don't want to say we, I mean we and the entire community.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, looking around, you are pulling it off.
Yeah, and then and it wasn't really until I got here personally. I got here a few days before the door knock, and I was like, wow, the spirit here is extraordinary and over the top. And we thought, you know what, it actually may not be a problem with 10,000 volunteers and such skilled builders and so many committed volunteers who had experienced the tornado, who are just committed. They are here every day, and they have their own loss that they're dealing with, but they've all decided to help out one of their own, you know, or 7 of their own in this case.
Well, something that you said the last time we spoke resonates every person who walks, like, onto our job site, for example, which is our small window into it, and it's America on their best behavior. And
oh, I've been repeating that. I did an interview with the local ABC affiliate, and I quoted you. Because I like that's the thing that really captures Extreme Makeover to me is America on its best behavior, because everyone's so nice and everyone tries so hard to do whatever they can to make a difference and to be involved, and they're just happy to be here to be helping. And it's wonderful.
Yeah, it's interesting that everybody has that in them. Everybody has it, but you get caught up in your work and your life or whatever, and you start, you know, honking at people.
Yeah,
and then it's,
yeah,
sometimes it takes a little something. Maybe you watch the Oprah show or something to sort of remind you, oh, yeah, no, this is the real me. And I think when Extreme Makeover comes to town, people just instantly have good vibes about it because they just know the history of the show and we're helping people. And so everyone sort of brings out all of that in them, not just 80% of it, but the 100% all week long. And that includes everybody. You know, everyone's nice to each other all week long. And why can't we do that every day in our lives?
I don't really know why not. I don't know.
I
should point out, though, that Teresa said she quoted what you said. I quote stuff you don't say. I just say stuff that's crazy. And I say, well, when I was talking with Brady Cannell, that's what he said.
Yeah. That could get me in trouble.
And they believe it, which is amazing.
So that's really nice, honey. Really? Seriously?
That's the opposite of plagiarism, I guess.
He could probably get you bounced off of here.
Libel.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is libel. Right. Libel language.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So for Constitutional Law 101, Brady Cannell will be delivering a three-hour speech to the Supreme Court.
So we've been talking about this time and time again, is picking the seven families.
Mm-hmm.
How in the world did you go through all of the stories?
Yeah.
I mean, how long did it take to pick the seven?
We almost didn't come because we thought about that. Like, how could you possibly pick seven families out of, you know, the 8,000 that were affected? And actually, at the early stages, we weren't sure that we could do seven homes. So we were like, we've got to go to Joplin. We've got to go, you know. And they were like,
sure,
well, we can't just do one home. That's what we do. And that maxes out our whole thing. And then, you know, somebody suggested seven homes in 7 days. And it was like, wow. But then what about seven? We can't just pick seven families.
Oh, right.
You
yeah,
know?
Yeah.
But then it was like, yeah, but we can't not go just because we can't help all 8,000 families.
Right.
So we sort of just said, you know what, we're going to help seven families, and we're going to feel good about that, and we're going to do our best that we can for those seven families, and also try to help the community in as many ways as we can, like with the park that you're working on. And we will just stretch our limits, you know, stretch our resources to the absolute limit as much as we can, and again, feel good about that. And I feel like I want to apologize that we can't help more, but anyway, we're glad we're here. We're glad that the Joplin community embraces us.
I know what you're getting at, though,
yeah,
and I think that speaks to the nature of your character and the quality of your heart and of the show's heart that says, hey, we're going to do this great thing. Oh, it's not good enough.
Yeah, and we all felt that way,
yeah,
really. But we had to give a couple rallying speeches to everybody,
yeah,
who felt like they wanted to do more. And I mean, every member on our staff is here, like everybody. Both of our teams, who usually travel all over the country, we merged here and we met here. George is here also, the other executive producer. Our entire design producing team of 25 people are here.
Wow.
So, you know, our money people aren't very happy about that back in L.A. But
yeah,
it was a commitment that we made, and there was no stopping us. You know,
yeah,
we're really proud to be
what
here.
Is it like working with the other team? What's it like working,
that's
you know,
great,
like meshing everybody together?
It's really fun. We just took some great pictures.
Oh, really?
And I think the Halloween party is going to be spectacular.
So, I don't even want to know what a Halloween party is like with the creative, organizational powerhouse that's sitting right here.
Well,
just you alone would
yeah,
be a great Halloween party.
And I have noticed, because we've been on both Alpha and Bravo sites, mm-hmm, that there's like a certain, your Alpha group is has a certain way about working that's like, I don't know. And the Bravo team is more laid back and more
really?
Cool. They're more, like, they work really hard.
You know what?
But their whole
actually,
old demeanor is like cool.
Oh, I like that.
They're
okay,
like cool.
What are we? We're just kind of,
you guys are like more intense, I think, what
oh,
it is. The energy
is
off of everybody. And I kind of think maybe it comes from, like, the leader.
Huh.
Like,
okay,
you're probably a little, yeah.
This is a question that I've been,
we're going in down into your psychology.
Not yes.
Okay, so lay down.
Well, and a group of
okay,
200 people, you know, it's like
yeah,
there's going to be different dynamics.
Yeah.
So
what do you see in this ink blot? You know, let's go
right,
into your
right,
psychology. Yeah.
Just answer me this, I'm going to have to leave. What's it like to be this cool? As you. As cool as you.
Well, it's the show that's cool. I mean, the show is really cool. It really
Mark
is.
Mark basically wants you to write down 10 ways to be as cool as you are. So he can,
yeah,
like, put them in his notebook and be like, number one,
yeah,
remember two, number two, don't forget.
I haven't written a book. Come on, that's cool.
You should write
that's
one.
That's the coolest thing ever. No, I'm talking about your book.
Oh,
you
know, thanks.
You guys are the cool ones.
Well, I don't know, but yeah.
Brady Cannell said I was cool. Did
but
someone write that down? Williams!
Getting back to picking the families.
Do we have a sound effect for that?
Oh, I didn't really finish that. I'm sorry, I didn't really finish answering that question, actually.
Yeah.
About picking the families.
Yeah.
I went backwards. And
oh, we've gone everywhere.
But really quick, it was very, very difficult. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt about it. I mean, there were 8,000 families, all these homes, and so we... Actually, we really trusted our casting department, who were here for weeks. I mean, we from May 23rd, the next day, like within a week, we had somebody on the ground here,
really?
just talking to people and trying to find out if there were
stories.
How
do they do it?
The casting people,
I mean,
oh,
like
yeah,
just
quite
go
the,
like
quite
go
the
through all the emotions and meeting everyone and going
yep.
and talking.
They were just walking down the street and finding out about stories and seeing if there was a family, you know, that had been affected in a particular way, because we wanted to help families. And knowing that we might do seven, and it was just talking to people for weeks and weeks, and we ended up spending, I think we had probably had 7 or 8 people here on the ground just
wow.
trying to cast the show.
Well, a huge compliment to the show, to Extreme Makeover, because I don't know how you do it, and you've done how many shows now?
This is 200.
This is the 200th
this
episode.
This is the official 200th episode.
So every single one, you're able to address a certain issue and bring attention to something, like the bullying one. Like every single thing, it's sort of like a little microcosm of like something that's going on that needs to be addressed. You like shine a little spotlight on it. So you find a family that has an issue and bring attention to everybody about it so that we're all aware of it, which I just think is just so your casting department.
Yeah.
High five.
Yeah, and it's not like we seek that story. We don't, you know, necessarily seek a story about a little person. We had an episode that aired,
yeah.
or is going to be airing soon. You know, the little person who was the child of two average-sized parents, which we thought was interesting. And so how do you design a house about that? And what is the issue behind that? Well, the issue behind that for us was the perception and stereotypes that pervade the whole world, really, about little people. And so that became my like passion, because I was also one of those people that wanted to learn about what a little person deals with in a home and in their life and driving their car and all this stuff. And so we did bring that into the episode. And you're right. So then we had another family that just had children with autism, and we thought, well, that seems like a pretty in our world a pretty normal issue to deal with. But then let's crack that one open and make sure that the audience and the whole country understands what.